This is American Dissident Voices. This is a program speaking for Americans who believe in freedom rather than in political correctness, who value quality above equality, and are willing to do whatever must be done to restore America to racial and moral health and her public institutions to sanity and integrity. This is a program speaking for Americans who dissent from the United States government's policies of multiculturalism and enforced diversity and globalism. This program is the voice of America's dissidents who are speaking out to America's patriots and to patriots of our Western civilization around the world in order that we may learn together and work together for a better future for us all.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. On today's program, we continue our update on the Zundel case. As Mr. Zundel, one of the world's foremost political prisoners and prisoners of conscience, is newly imprisoned in Mannheim Prison in Germany for the crime of doubting the court historians and the Jewish supremacist and Zionist lobby's view of history. I don't believe there is any clearer case in the world of a man who is in prison because of the dictates of his conscience and his determination to use his voice and his pen to state the truth as he sees it. It is not an exaggeration to say that the fate of freedom in the West will be affected for decades to come, perhaps even centuries, by what is happening to Ernst Zundel right now. In just a moment, we will be joined by Mark Weber, historian and director of the Institute for Historical Review, on American Dissident Voices. You're listening to American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books.
I wonder what would happen if 1,000 men showed up in front of Mannheim Prison and stated on placards or just stated with their loud voices that they too doubted the Jewish version of World War II history.
Well, I think demonstrations can really be effective in this because there's less and less will to enforce these kind of ridiculous laws, these anti-free speech laws, because they run so counter really to the principles that the country claims to uphold. At the same time, Ernst Zundel is blunt and forthright in his views that even many nationalists in Germany are fearful about of associating themselves with him, because they want to say, no, you see, we're nationalists and we're this, but we're not like that Ernst Zundel. Zundel is a provocative man. He's often deliberately provocative. And that's both the strength, but it's also can be a source of weakness at times. But overall, Ernst Zundel's courage and his feistiness have been some of his greatest strengths.
I saw one photograph on the news wires that showed Ernst Zundel on arrival at the German prison, and he was smiling, looking very upbeat. Is there any word on how his spirits are right now?
I talked to him just hours before he was put on a plane and sent to Germany. It was the last phone conversation that we may have in years. And as usual, Ernst Zundel is three things. His mood is three things simultaneously. He's a person that is realistic. He's not under any illusions about the situation he's in. Second, he's upbeat. He's eternally an optimistic man who tries to see the best of any given situation, but at the same time tempered with a sober realism. And third, he was philosophical. I was very struck by how he sees his fate as part of a larger unfolding of events and sees himself as a man who's playing a role, an important role, but just one role in a very large unfolding drama. And he says, fate is not done with me yet, he said. He survived firebombings, assassination attempts, imprisonment, enormous legal campaign by powerful Jewish organizations in Canada, and he said all that didn't happen just so everything ends now. and that fate is not done yet with Ernst Zundel. And I think he's quite right. But this combination of a kind of philosophical view of himself and an utter lack of any self-pity and realism and optimism are characteristics of Ernst Zundel's personality that struck me when I first met him in 1988, and I think which characterize his general character and personality.
Is there any hope at all for anything from the Canadian or American courts to stop this circus and get Ernst home, or have all of those avenues been exhausted?
Well, in Canada, I think the chapter is really closed on doing anything there. I don't think anything more can be done there. In fact, it's almost a fluke that he, after he was taken from the United States, that he was even taken back to Canada. It might have been, if a few things had been differently, he might have been put on a plane and sent directly to Germany at that time. Here in America, attorneys representing Ernst Zundel are still fighting to overturn his deportation and the order banning him from the United States for 20 years. It's a pretty outrageous thing. But given the powers that have been given to the government, especially in the wake of September 11, and the fact that Ernst Zundel is not a U.S. citizen, it's going to be very difficult to overturn that. But in Germany, of course, that's where now the battle is going to be fought.
Is Ernst Zundel adequately represented in Germany?
Without going into detail, I understand that he is. My information is that the attorney, the main attorney who's representing him, is a really first-rate, capable man. And we'll see yet what's going to happen. But so far, yes. But the next several weeks should be very revealing in exactly how what his legal recourse is going to be and how exactly he's going to fight it.
The language of the prosecution and the defense will be German, and the events will no longer turn on American or Canadian decisions. Will, in your opinion, this make the story disappear in North American media?
Yes, largely. Largely, I think it will. And it's also going to be harder to raise money for his legal defense, because it's difficult in the European context to raise money for legal defense in the same way that we're used to doing here in the United States or in Canada. The situation is just different. But again, I think we're just seeing really the bare beginnings of it, and it can. There's many different ways this could play out.
You're not planning on a diminution in coverage on your own alternative media, the IHR website, are you?
Well, we've been giving a lot of coverage to all of this, not just because of the very important role he played during the 1980s in bringing out a fabulous amount of new information on the Holocaust and the Second World War, but also he's spoken twice at IHR conferences. He was at the very first IHR conference in 1979. He's a friend. I've known him, and I testified on his behalf. We feel a kinship and a relationship for those reasons, but also he is the personification right now in the world of the struggle for free historical inquiry and free historical expression. He has been the number one political prisoner in North America. He's now an important political prisoner in Europe, and he deserves the support of everyone who cares about free speech and free inquiry.
How are Jewish groups reacting to these events?
Well, predictably, the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the Anti-Defamation League in New York, the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles, the Anti-Defamation League in New York, immediately issued a crowing, exultant press releases, applauding, of course, the transfer of Zundel to Germany and the arrest there of him. I mean, as I cannot stress too highly, these organizations have been gunning for Ernst Zundel for many years, and they're have been doing everything they can to silence him.
Paul Fromm recently told the media that this is, quote, coming at a very volatile time. There's a lot of discontent in Germany right now, and Ernst Zundel may well be a rallying point for Germans who are sick and tired of hearing about the Holocaust and German guilt, close quote. We saw members of the major German Nationalist Party, the NPD, walk out during a Jewish Holocaust ceremony and also openly call the Allied attack on Dresden a Holocaust of bombs. How is Ernst Zundel going to alter the face of the historical debate in Germany, and will he find allies there?
Well, he'll find the extent to which he'll find allies is not yet clear. But it is true, the mood is changing in Europe. There's a greater awareness by a new generation that people other than Jews were victims in the Second World War. You know, it's especially ironic that we hear so much about the Holocaust. Holocaust means consuming in fire. Literally, hundreds of thousands of Germans were consumed in Holocaust during the Second World War, victims of terror bombing in that terrible conflict. And more and more Germans are not willing to just be silent when we hear over and over about one category of victimization and nothing about the sufferings of other people during the Second World War. You know, the thing just can't go on like it has. The Holocaust campaign over the last 20, 30 years has increasingly shifted the finger of blame, not just at Germans or Nazis, but at Europeans and indeed all of humanity. Humanity is collectively regarded by Jewish organizations as having this guilt or responsibility for what's alleged to be the greatest crime in history. This is impossible over the long run to pull off in getting the world to accept this. I mean, some people will sort of go along with it, but it's absurd on its face, and it's the logical extension of how Jews see the Second World War and the Holocaust. They see it as part of a larger historical drama in which there's a constant struggle between non-Jews and Jews. And Hitler is regarded as the most recent of a long line of leaders who have been anti-Jewish.
Well, they keep wailing that the world is against us. It seems to me if they wail long enough, it may become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, it's not going to happen forever that the world will just go along with this lament. And it may resonate with Jews, but it isn't going to resonate with non-Jews forever. And we're seeing, really, I think all over the world, a real change in that regard. And the treatment of Ernst Zundel really points up that he's not a perpetrator, he's a victim. This is an important thing. Palestinians are victims of Jewish power. And around the world, there is a greater and greater awareness that Jews wield and tremendous power in our society and are able to use it to oppress, to carry out war and destruction, and this awareness cannot help but play a role in all this. Now, that may be a process of awareness too slow to help Ernst Zundel immediately, but the mood is changing all over the world.
I don't know who said it, but someone said we're all Palestinians now. And in a sense, I think people are waking up to that.
Well, I'm very pleased that there's an increasing worldwide awareness about the forces that brought about the Iraq War. The same president that lied to the public to carry out this war against Iraq is now agitating, along with his neocon friends in the White House, for war against Iran and Syria. This should make it obvious to everyone this isn't a war about oil. It's a war, as Senator Hollings of South Carolina said, to secure Israel. This is a conflict for Jewish interests. The world has no interest in war in Iran. The only country and the only group that has an interest in war against Iran is Israel and an organized Jewry. A war against Iran would be catastrophic, would be terrible. And the whole world knows this. But Israel and Jewish groups are pressing for war against Iran or against Syria. And the cost, unfortunately, will be a very high one paid not by Israel and American Jews, but paid by with lives and blood and treasure of millions of people in the United States, in the Middle East, and other places.
All of them as innocent as Ernst Zundel. Mr. Zundel is 65 years old, Mark, and he stands accused of speech crimes that could earn him significant prison time in Germany. Do you think that he will be convicted? And if so, will he spend the rest of his life in jail?
I don't think he'll spend the rest of his life in jail. It's even questionable whether he'll be convicted. As I say, the charges against him are not only absurd, but they're very flimsy. He's being charged with Holocaust denial through a website in the United States that he doesn't even control. He might still be found guilty, as absurd as that is. But even so, it's hard to imagine how he would be held for the rest of his life. Even if he is found guilty on that absurd charge.
What sort of sentence do you think would be meted out? 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, if he's convicted?
Well, based on what's happened to others who've been in a similar situation, generally the sentences have been running about, a year and a half, something like that. If prison, I mean. Of course, there's other people that are punished with fines and punished in other ways. Sometimes the sentences are suspended, Gunter Deckert, he was sentenced to, I think, 15 months in prison for being an interpreter for a talk given by Fred Lucher in Germany. David Irving, for making a statement at a meeting in Munich, was fined, I think, 30,000 marks and banned from the country. So in his case, he wasn't arrested. He wasn't jailed. I mean... But that's kind of the range of the level of punishment in these cases. So I guess the good news is that even if he's found guilty, it's not so likely that he would be held for as long as he was held for 2 years in solitary confinement in supposedly free and democratic Canada.
Well, that's good news in a way, if it turns out that way. I suppose then the focus would switch to becoming reunited with his wife and fighting to be able to return to his home in Tennessee if he can actually do that.
Right, right. Zundel was correct when he said that Providence is not done with him yet. It's ironic that although all he wanted to do was live rather quietly in Tennessee with his wife and paint pictures, fate has thrust him into the world stage again.
Well, Ernst Zundel has always been a man who could take a bad situation and do something positive with it. He's a man of great creativity and energy. He took the false news trials and the website trials and the latest sham proceedings and turned them, for anyone who would listen anyway, into a damning indictment of the Jewish power structure and its lies, its distortions, its outrageous corruption and manipulation of the legal system. Well, now he'll be on trial again, this time for speaking his mind. And in the country which has been the focus of both the Jews' efforts to vilify and Zundel's efforts to set the record straight, I predict there'll be fireworks. What do you think?
Well, that's what I hope, and you're right. Ernst Zundel has never been one to just take things lying down, and he's always been a man to make the most of any situation. It's going to be upon us to do everything we can to keep things up and increase awareness about all of this, but I've been very encouraged by the expression of support even before Ernst landed in Germany that we've seen from Germany just in the last couple of days that he's been there now.
What can our listeners do to help Ernst in his fight for his freedom?
They can organize demonstrations and write to German consulates in the embassy in the countries where they live. They can inform themselves about the case. There's a tremendous amount of information, not only on just what's been happening recently, but background information on the IHR site at IHR.org. Beyond that, they can also contribute money to the legal defense campaign by going to the Zindel site. And of course, they can support the IHR in our efforts as well. What exactly is going to be the most effective things to do after that, I think will be more obvious within the next few weeks.
Well, Mark, we're going to be watching the situation with Ernst Zindel in Germany very closely. We're going to be giving his fight for freedom and freedom of expression a lot of publicity on nationalvanguard.org and on this radio program. And I want to thank you for being a part of that. I want to thank you for being a stalwart friend to Ernst Zindel and a friend of freedom of speech, and for helping bring the truth to light through your work with the Institute for Historical Review. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin, and you deserve tremendous praise yourself for the work that you've been doing.
American Dissident Voices.
You've heard of the NAACP, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, the African American Planning Commission, the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, the Japanese American Citizens League, National Congress of American Indians, National Council of Negro Women, National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Policy Institute, Native American Rights Fund, National Puerto Rican Coalition, National Urban League, Organization of Chinese Americans, Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Anything missing here? Did you notice white America has been totally left out? Not anymore. And the future is bright. And just in time. Visit nationalvanguard.org. There's a need for your assistance. The time is right to unite. White Americans, spend some time with us. See how bright our future will be. nationalvanguard.org.
You are listening to American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books. The new issue of National Vanguard Magazine, number 125, is now available for purchase from National Vanguard Books. Bulk copies of the magazine, 20 or more, are also available at up to 50% off the cover price. Many of our members and supporters sell these at flea markets, cultural events, and quite a number even distribute them regularly to newsstands at a tidy profit. National Vanguard Magazine is a publication of the highest quality in every sense of the word, one that you will be proud to show to your friends and associates. This issue, our 125th, contains the following important features. How you can help, an editorial by yours truly, Kevin Alfred Strom. National Vanguard is a collaborative effort, and every reader can contribute in a significant way to our success. The Assault on Art and Beauty. Josiah Knott looks at the biological and cultural reasons that make Jews tend to work against beauty and oppose all manifestations of beauty as we see it in the art of the West. The Sign Man. Ben Parker's fictional look at a man who changed the world, even though he seemed to have nothing. Seemed is the operative word in this case. Situation Terminal But Not Serious, columnist and wit Bob Whitaker on The Legal Background to Gay Marriage, Petty Tyrants, a look at what Canadian and American society may become as book burning and imprisonment without charge become a reality, and Both Sides Equal One Side, a comparison of communist sham elections with American sham elections. Postscripts by Revelo P. Oliver. In The Price of the Head, Revelo P. Oliver looks at an egregious case of corruption in the Academy, corruption that contributed to the deaths of thousands of Americans and the betrayal of a sacred trust. Holocaust Commemoration, Part 2. Continued incisive analysis by Erman Vinson of the secular religion driven by Jewish ethnocentrism that is growing up around the Holocaust. and much, much more. You may subscribe or purchase individual or bulk copies of National Vanguard magazine at nationalvanguard.org or natvan.com. A 6-issue subscription is $22 in the U.S. One copy is $5 postpaid. In Canada, the subscription is $30, one copy, $5. And elsewhere in the world, the subscription is $40, one copy, $8. Write to National Vanguard Books, Box 330, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. That's National Vanguard Books, Box 330, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Or you may order online. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
You have been listening to a presentation of American Dissident Voices. The program was sponsored as a public service by National Vanguard Books, America's foremost supplier of patriotic books and tapes. You may purchase a high-fidelity audio recording of this program or any earlier program for $12.95 postpaid. In ordering program tapes, be sure to mention the date and the subject of the program and the call letters of this radio station. For $2, we'll send you our newest 72-page illustrated catalog with descriptions and ordering information for more than 600 books and tapes of interest to patriots. Many of the items in the National Vanguard Books catalog are available nowhere else. Our mailing address is National Vanguard Books, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Please write that address down now, because you may not hear this program again on this station. The forces of political correctness do not believe in free speech, and they do not like this program. Our address again is National Vanguard Books, Post Office Box 90, that's 90, Hillsboro, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Visit us on the internet at www.natvan.com. That's spelled NATVAN.com. Or www.natall.com. That's spelled NATALL.com. These American Dissident Voices programs are sponsored by donations from listeners like yourself. Please send a donation today to help us keep these programs on the air. This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America.